Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon, and I'd like to welcome back to the show a very special guest, someone who's been on before, but it's been a little bit of time since the last time. Welcome back, Brandon Hojo. Welcome back, Brandon.
Hey, it's good to be back. Okay, I did want to say something. Okay, so this new year music, I may not be 100% on board with this new music because I feel like it's like I'm in a waiting room for a wellness center or something, and I feel like it just doesn't get me excited enough yet, but we'll get there. We'll have comments on the side about getting better music.
Okay,
different music.
So do you want the backstory behind this music?
I mean, go for it.
Okay, so the backstory behind this music, it was a very, very last minute adjustment. So, you know, generally at the beginning of the year, we like to change the music for the full year. And it was about 3 minutes before we were going to record our first podcast for 2026. And I was like, oh, shoot. And I think we had guests here too. So I didn't want to take the time to, you know, it wasn't just like I was able to say, hey, Kyle, can we, you know, have 20 minutes or anything? But I think we had guests in studio. And so I was like, I just got to find something. So fortunately, there was a podcast called Two Bees.
Oh, here we go.
All you listening out there can guess who the hosts of Two Bees were. But anyway, there was a podcast that was using our equipment that had some extra music that they had never used for their podcast. And fortunately for us, I thought I kind of liked it. And I said, hey, Kyle, what do you think about this one? And he said, let's go for
it. It's fine. He said, it's fine.
So note to self, the reason that 2Bs didn't use it is because Brandon doesn't like that one.
Yeah, there's like four other ones that were like, these are good. We can skip this one. But anyway, yeah, small little comment.
All right, so I asked Brandon because he's someone that I know has a servant's heart, and we are starting this series on the Serving Challenge. Pastor Barry gave the intro sermon this past Sunday to something that we're going through as a whole church. So it's going through the sermon series, it's going through the small groups. A lot of the things that we're going through as a whole church all together is going to be focused on this Serving Challenge. And so I thought it'd be great to invite Brandon, someone that I know has a servant heart, and you know, we were just reminiscing over our Boy Scout experience, which, you know, is heavily focused on serving and, you know, doing things for other people and thinking outside of yourself. And I thought it would be great to have him on for the intro. So welcome, Brandon, to talk about your servant's heart.
Oh, well, I mean, thank you. So I actually wasn't at the, on Sunday, I wasn't there.
But you have a good reason.
Yeah, so I was... This is kind of weird to say. I was serving with the youth. I was somewhere else. I was on campus, but I was just helping with the youth.
Yeah, so he wasn't there to hear about serving because he was actually doing the serving.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's nothing else to say to that. Sorry. I'm reading the book. I'm reading the book with everyone else. So that's what's happening.
Yeah, so a lot of this introduction and the first part of the book is all about our attitude and our attitude towards serving. You know, and so I thought it would be a good place for us to start this conversation was just... like, what's your perspective on serving, and do you feel or do you find yourself having any kind of like feeling of having to walk the line when it comes to your attitude regarding serving?
Yeah, if you've already started the book, the day one he talks about attitude, which I think is, it's got to be the best place to start because he gives this great example of him helping out with his wife. And so I think attitude, of course, it matters so much because serving is like you're doing something, right? You're praying for someone, you're going helping out at a kitchen, you're serving at a children's ministry or something. There's so many different ways to serve, but I think if you serve from the wrong place, it's a really slippery slope, right? So we were talking earlier about when you serve out of obligation or you serve because you feel like you have to, or maybe your parents make you do it, maybe your spouse makes you do it. Like there's just so many slippery slopes of you're kind of just doing it just to do it. And so I think when we talk about attitude and serving, obviously it's for other people. That's the hope that it's coming from. You're doing it for someone else, not for yourself, right? Because that's a whole other can of worms. But I think, and then I think the book does such a good job at just turning it back to, well, we serve because he first served us, loved us, right? And just how Jesus came as a servant and he humbled himself to come down in human form and serve. And so I think it's, when we're talking about attitude, the why matters so much. And so for me, going through Boy Scouts, helping out with youth, helping out with all these different things, like if you don't have a good why, it's like, stop, like check yourself. Mm-hmm. And so I think attitude is such a good place to start. Because if you, again, we all know those people who just get burnt out, that they get too tired, their heart's not in it, they're not doing it with joy. And it, one, affects the ministry, but two, it affects them greatly, right? And so if you're not coming from an attitude of love, if you're not coming from an attitude of just, I want to be here, I want to do this, like that matters, right? And so for example, I've been doing youth at Catalyst since 2018, and all these years, I've loved every second of it. I love getting to know the kids. I love getting to be able to help them and walk them through life and go through discussions, play silly games, do all this dumb stuff. I mean, they're youth, right? But like being able to do all that stuff. If I'm coming from a place of, I don't want to be here, I don't want to get to know these kids, I want to do all these other things, then it's, one, it's not going to be good for them, and two, it's not good for me too.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think attitude is such a great place to start at. And I think even you, like, I'm going to throw this back on you, where Damon, I want you to humble brag on all the different places in the ministry at Catalyst that you've served since 2006? So 2007?
Oh,
so,
since 2006.
Yeah.
So, that is a long time.
Actually, no, I take it. Okay, maybe COVID. COVID to now, 2020. I'm going to throw it to you. Can you name all the different places that you've served at Catalyst? All the different ministries?
Can I name them all? Okay, that's... You actually gave me some time to think about this beforehand. So Brandon kind of prepped me on it. And even then I was like, okay, can I name them all? All right. So I guess we can name a few. So we started the podcast.
Yep.
Right. So that's one. We started the live stream since we're going back to COVID, right? So we started the live stream.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, some of the parts of starting a live stream, there's a lot of different facets to starting a live
stream,
so many. Right? So, especially because beforehand we had basically no online presence when it comes to, you know, services, streaming, any of that stuff. So we had to basically start from scratch
Stone
on
age.
That.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. We've started a website and had to update our website. We started the app since then.
Yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And, I've been, this past year, working with the Pride and doing Sunday school teaching. I've been consulting with our family ministry team to help, you know, get everyone on the same page and moving us all forward together as one ministry. Like, I'm starting to draw a blank. It's like
the Sunday service, or I mean,
oh,
the first
multi-gen. Uh-huh. Yes, I've taken responsibility for multi-gen and kind of shifting the dynamics and the culture for what multi-gen looks like. Done the visual ministry and setting up the slides and our recordings, and having to shift that from our original online service to now what we're doing with recordings and things like that, and making sure that we have a podcast presence as well. Helping John with
Catalyst Stories.
With you with Catalyst Stories, and also with the Catalyst Video Stories. Working with our 17 group, shout out to Emily and Mimo, who helped to start and do the Parents Night Out that we had at the end of last year.
Okay, if you haven't been counting, because I have, 10. That's 10 different ministries that you've helped with in the past 5 or 6 years, which is like crazy. And even within those ministries, there's different hats that you're wearing where it's like, oh, I set up the stream. That alone is like you're doing 15 things because I've seen it and I've helped you with it. And like doing this podcast, oh, you're so nonchalant. I just upload it and da da da. But you had to set up the system. You had to get the equipment. You had to get the mics. And then you have to upload it and save it and file it. And so I think of those 10 things, only in the past 6 years for you, what keeps you going? Like we're talking about attitude, right? So like what for you makes it, why do you do what you do?
Why do I do what I do? Honestly, the reason I do what I do is because I love the people in our church, you know? And personally, I feel like I am so thankful to the Lord for what he's done in my life. And I want the people in our church to experience the things that I've experienced with the Lord for themselves. And so things like having our podcast. This is an opportunity for me to share just some of the things that the Lord has done in my life, or some of the ways that he's led me or touched me or healed me or things like that. And so that other people can see that, you know, the Lord is real and he's still active. You know, sometimes when we think about like reading the Bible or things like that, it's like, oh, God did all these things in the past. Mm. And it was thousands of years ago that he was doing stuff. Like, where is he today? And so for me, it's cool because he's alive and active in my life daily. And so this is an opportunity for me to share some of those things so that other people can, whether it's have ideas or just have other areas that the Lord might be speaking to them through what's going on in my life or the other guests that we have, you know, it's an opportunity. And, you know, same thing with our church. I just love our church and I love, you know, Pastor Barry and the direction that he's taking us. And so if there's a way for us to be able to kind of increase the impact of what is going on inside our church to the world by doing things like having a live stream or recording and putting it on YouTube, things like that, like, that's awesome, you know. And I love our family. So, you know, for me, working with the Pride or working with our family ministry team, like, those things are really ways for me to be able to help to impact our families and help them to grow and help them as a family to experience the Lord as well too. So really it's for me, a lot of it is just my response to what the Lord has done in my life and wanting that for other people too.
I think what I love about your answer so much is that there's just so many layers and facets and implications that you have as you're sharing your reason, because it's like for you, you want to love on these people, but first you got to know these people. So I feel like you helping out in all these ministries, you like know all these people, you know their stories, helping with John and his and Catalyst Stories and with AV team, like, you know these people and that's why you love them. And then you're coming from a place of like, I'm serving and I want to help these other people because it's so unique to you. Because I don't think anyone can just run a podcast. I don't think anyone can just like, oh yeah, upload to YouTube. I can guarantee you there's like 30 people right now that have no idea how to start their own YouTube page, you know? And so I think, like, what I love about your answers, there's so many implications of, like, you have been, this might be a little dramatic, but, like, you were, like, chosen by God because of your skill set to do certain things. Could anyone replace Damon right now? I don't know, right? And so it's like, you could say, oh, sure, people can pick this up, but, like, you're so gifted in all these different things where it's like, yeah, it makes the most sense. I want to do these things because God has gifted me and loved me, and so I want to do that outpouring in all these other different areas. And I think that's so cool where it's like a lot of people don't come to that realization of I am gifted. I am selected to do these specific things. And that you know all these people, right? Because you've been here.
From the beginning.
Yeah, that right. That's what I'm saying. Like, you've been at Catalyst. You've walked with these people. You've been through the hard times. You've done 17 years at a middle school, and you've went through the hard time. You got there early.
Like, what are you talking about? 17 years? Sorry, oh, yeah, we were at Stanford. Yeah. That feels like so long ago that we were at Stanford, but right, it, so, like, it really hasn't.
You've come early at things. You've stayed late. You've helped with setup, right? And you've seen so many different facets. And so, one, not only is this your vocation, like, you get paid to do this, but, like, you love the people that you're serving. And I feel like when it comes to, like, attitude check, like, it's not coming out of your own flesh. It's coming out of, you know, what God has gifted you and has blessed you with. And you're going to do these things. And I think that's so cool. And I think that's at the heart of serving.
And I, you know, kind of to tag along and piggyback off of that, Brandon, is I feel so blessed to be a part of our church because we have so many amazing people. And so when you say like that, I know people, part of it is just because I am always like just in awe of how awesome our people are, right? Like, so just to think about when I'm standing, you know, up there on multi-gen and I look around, and I say this a lot, so this is probably not the first time that you've heard this, but when I look around in the audience, it's like, wow, like all of these people from the oldest ones that have like, man, this person's made an impact on my life. This person's made an impact on my life. This person's made an impact on my life. To like the little ones, like, wow, if this older person's made an impact in my life, how can I make a similar impact on someone that's younger, you know? Right. And so to be able to be a part of the line of generations that's passing on the love of the Lord and the fear of the Lord in our church, it's like, I feel very privileged and blessed to be able to be a part of that. But it's like, I just want to get to know some of these people because, man, God has brought some amazing people to our church.
Right.
And I'm just always like in awe of some of their stories, some of the ways that the Lord has moved them, some of the ways that the Lord has touched them. And it impacts me. And so, you know, that's one reason that I'm always bugging people to come on the podcast is because some of these stories, like, they make such an impact on me. I want their story to be shared with the rest of our church so other people can be blessed in the same way that I was. So, you know, I'm always in awe of the way that the Lord has blessed our church in terms of the connections with different people. And it's within the walls of our church and then also like outside of our church, you know. So, you know, we have connections with like Pastor Daniel in Mozambique or Pastor Mike in Kenya or Pastor Chana in Cambodia or Michelle and the Explicit team in Hawaii. Or we just have all of these different connections that it's like, wow, we're just this, you know, smaller, we're not a mega church, you know, in Long Beach, you know, and the Lord has really given us a lot of connections to just some amazing people. And it's like, man, I want to get to know these people just because they're really awesome people. And, and I feel very blessed to hear their stories and the ways that the Lord is touching them. So,
And I think it all goes without saying, like, Damon, like you're in it. You're like, you're in, I don't want to say the weeds, but you're in the church, you're part of the fabric. And I think that's an encouragement for anyone where it's like, okay, I'm going to go high school camp right here. Right? It's like, you only get what you put in, right? And so for you, Damon, like, you've been so blessed by being in it. You're part of all these different teams, all these different ministries. And I think a lot of your attitude is like, your attitude, I'm sure, has changed a little bit over time where it's like, I love these people even more than I did when I started.
No, for sure. I do. And that's how I feel. But I think that's one thing that you're pointing out about in, when it comes to serving is like, not necessarily that you get out what you put in,
sure.
But if you're not putting in, then you're probably not going to receive as much.
Right.
So kind of in this whole thing about attitude, right? Like the way that our society is today in the world is very like a, you know, what can you do for me?
Right.
What can you do for me? What can you do for me? And sometimes it's really the way that the Lord works and like kind of God's economy is more like, well, what you can do for me is really allow me to serve you. And that is actually going to bless me. Right. And so for me, like you kind of mentioned, like I feel so blessed by our people and a lot of it has come from the serving.
Right. I was just going to say that where like you're also allowing other people to serve you. Like you're open to that. You're accepting to, if you're in a hard place, or you're going through something difficult, or even if you're in a good place, like allowing other people to bless you and use their gifts for you so that, again, that you can reflect that and then continue serving other people in other ways. Because it's one thing to serve and do all these great things, but if you're not allowing anyone to love you or serve you or help you, it's just, that's just another slippery slope as far as I see, where you're just blocking off other people from serving you or helping you.
Yeah, I mean, there's really only so much that one person can do, right? Like, we are limited because we have physical bodies and there's a limited capacity to them. And so I don't think that that's by mistake. Like, I don't think that the Lord gave us a physical body that has a limited capacity for no reason. I think part of it is because then we have to be dependent. Well, one, we have to be dependent upon Him, right? Because if we had unlimited capacity, then we wouldn't need God.
Right.
So one reason is so that we need Him, but then also so that we can be in relationship with other people. Because if we could do everything by ourselves, then again, we'd have no need to be in relationship with other people because we can do everything ourselves.
Right.
And so, you know, having a limited capacity kind of forces us into that position where it's like, I recognize I can only do so much. I need someone else. And, you know, like part of it is embracing the limitedness of our being.
Right.
And so, you know, and that's one way that we got a chance to work together more closely was like right at the beginning of COVID.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, Brandon recognized that I was starting the live stream and everything. And he's like, actually you could do this better. You could do this better. I was like, and then he's like, do you need help? Do you need me to come in and help you? And I was like, yes, please come help.
That's funny how you took it. So, okay, so let's rewind for a tangent. So live streams, right? So we had a live worship band in the office, and so you would cut between like the wide of everyone, then you cut to like the drums and like the keys, and so, and then also when the speaker, it's like slides and speaker, and so sometimes when I was watching the stream, I was like, yo, David, some of these cuts are like not that good. Like coming from a TV background, it's like, oh, you can make this better, like this would be great, like. And then in my head, I was like, he's probably so busy running like 10 things at one time. He just can't focus on some of these more artistic or like different kinds of things. And so I texted him one day. I was like, hey, so like, you know, how is it for you? Is it okay? Hey, if you want to need help, I can come out there and like do some of this stuff just to make the load easier on you. Because he's worrying about the worship slides. And then he's not thinking about the camera. And so I texted him like, I'll just come. Like, it's not a big deal. And so I'm glad you said yes.
He's glad I said yes, because then it made it look a lot better.
I mean, it was just preference, right? But it was funny too, because one day I think Pastor Barry was speaking on the stream, and he was cutting between his face and then the slides of the Bible verse or something. And there's sometimes when he's talking and he moved on from the slide, and I'm like, David, cut to his face. I don't want to see these words anymore. And so I remember one time when I helped out, Pastor Bear was like, oh, Brandon, I really like it when you help with the slides. I was like, oh, okay, a little bit of affirmation that I'm doing it right. But again, all to say, like, it started with me reaching out to you.
Yeah.
Thankfully, I had that line of contact where I could be like, hey, David, do you need help? I'm willing and able and, you know.
Not doing anything else on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, because I'm just sitting on my couch watching this stream where it's like, I can serve. I can be there. It's not a big deal. I'm not far. But sometimes serving is just, hey, do you need help? I can do it. Just the willingness, you know.
Yeah, so I mean, kind of like we alluded to earlier, you know, sometimes different ministries, someone has to wear a lot of different hats, and it's helpful when other people help to put on some of those hats for you so you don't have to wear them all yourself, right? And so, yeah, in that situation, I was very thankful that Brandon came on board and was able to help create a better production for the live stream.
I mean, and so part of that is like, not my vocation, but at the time, I had just got off a TV show where they were making all those live cuts, and I was in the booth when they're camera two, camera three, and they're just making all these calls, and so I'm learning from then. And then we hit COVID, and like Damon's doing it on his stream deck, and I'm like, I could do that. I just came from a place where they were doing that, and so I got really excited. But yeah, so part of it was just perfect timing in terms of what I was going through. And so, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the cool things about the way that the Lord works is that he can take our skills and the things that we like doing, and he can find places for us to be able to serve in the context of the church or church family, or even in your vocation or other places if we have a willing heart, right? So if we have a willing heart, then he's able to take what we can give and use that and multiply it, right? So kind of like the way that Pastor Barry had mentioned with the young boy a few weeks ago in his message when Jesus fed the 5,000, right? All he had to do was bring his two fish and five loaves, and the Lord was able to multiply it, right? So if we have the right heart, he can take what we have and then use it for great things.
Right, and I think something just to keep in mind, this isn't bad, but like I think boundaries too within serving, like just knowing yourself and knowing your limits and capabilities. So for example, if you're an elementary school teacher of first graders, that doesn't necessarily mean you have to do children's ministry, you know, with more rowdy first graders. But I think it's just knowing, you know, okay, Lord, where do I go? What do I feel capable of doing? Because I know some people where they started in children's ministry, first, second grade, teaching them, and then they went and became an elementary school teacher, and they're like, this is so different. I never want to help with children's ministry ever again. You know, but I think that's, it's part of it is testing out, this is interesting, and then you do it. It's like, okay, this is not what I want to do. Like I know, Pastor Ross, I am never going to do worship. Never ask me. That's not my skill set. I'm not good at it. You don't want me up there. But I've practiced that, and I've been in a place where I did it, and I was like, nah, this is not for me. You know,
I had my audition a couple weeks ago, and I don't think it went very well.
They're not going to ask you back. And so, like, you want to be. I mean, ideally, you're good at whatever you're serving at, but sometimes it's like it's hard in the beginning, and you have that conviction from the Lord, I'm supposed to be here. Even though I'm terrible, I'm going to get better, right? And so that's part of your own personal journey. But it's like, sometimes you just test it out. Okay, they need help in children's ministry? Let me try. Oh, these kids run me up the wall. I'm not going to do it. You know, or whatever it is, right?
So. Oh, when you went down the line of boundaries, I thought you were going to go somewhere else, because one of your boundaries is actually coming up pretty soon.
Huh? Boundary? What are we talking about?
Sometimes you need time limits on your commitments, right? And creating boundaries on time limits and things like that, right?
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. I tell that to everyone. When anyone in church or just in life, they give me like, oh, pray about this, think about this. Like, can you give me a deadline? Like, I need a deadline because if you don't give me a deadline, I'm just going to forget and then not get back to you. And so I've told so many different leaders, give me 2 weeks or you set a time what makes sense for your timetable and then do it. But
I think we're not on the same page.
Wait, what? What are you talking about? Boundaries.
So your boundary in regards to serving with the youth is coming up.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, that one. Oh, I didn't know if we were going to talk about that. Oh. Okay. Well, yeah. Should I go? Okay.
I mean, if you want to. But I'm not necessarily specifically regarding that, but just like in terms of setting boundaries, even on time limits of how long we're going to be serving for. Because sometimes I think we serve and we just start doing something, then it's kind of the assumption is, okay, I'm going to do that forever. Right?
Yeah.
And that's not always a healthy place to be either. Sometimes it's good to just say, okay, I'm going to commit to serving in this area for a week, 6 months, a year, right? So then that way it's clear and there's not, you know, unmet expectations or assumptions that are being made. It's good to have clear communication because then not necessarily there's a way out, but then there's an opportunity for it to not become burnout just because it's like, oh, I've been doing this for so long just because they assume that I'm going to keep going, even though they've never asked me to do it or they've never asked me to re-up or anything. So sometimes it's good to have clear like boundaries in regards to like, this is my commitment. This is what I'm going to commit to. This is how long I'm going to be here for. And so, you know, those things are good.
Right. Or even just when you get to that, let's say that limit, it's like, oh, I'm just going to reevaluate. Mm-hmm. Is this okay? Right. And I totally with that. And so I get what you're saying. So I've been serving with the youth group since 2018-ish, around there. And so then this is my final year serving with the youth. And so for me, it's like I've had to, you know, have this conversation with God of like, okay, is this the right time? Is what's the reason? Like I could do this presumably for a while. I don't know if I want to, but so for the end of this school year, that's when I'm going to be finishing with the youth as well. And so it's kind of like as I get closer to that date, I keep praying about, okay, Lord, this is right. Do I feel affirmed in this decision? And then people always ask me like, what are you going to do after? How are you going to serve after this? And I was like, I don't know. Like that's just not like, I don't have that plan yet. I'll cross that bridge when I get there. And I think that's a reflection of just my faith and my career journey or decisions and things like that. But like, I know like, this is it. I'm done. Great. And yeah, I've had a lot of prayer. It's not just some wistful random, this is the last year. And so I think, yeah, having that boundary and like what it means leading up to it for me of just how I serve, the way that I see all these things and how do I interact with the youth and things like that. And so, yeah, boundaries. Yeah.
Because I think, too, when we have clear boundaries, it helps with our experience and our attitude as well, right? Because then it's not getting to the point where it just becomes, right, obligation or I'm just doing it because I've always done it or things like that. And then you're able to kind of not necessarily to say step away on your own terms, right, but you're able to move to the next opportunity coming off of kind of a high or like from a good place as opposed to like, okay, well, I just got so burnt out on that last one. I don't even want to serve in something else, right? It's like, but, you know, when you have your clear boundaries, then it could be like, okay, I served in this capacity for this long. Now I'm ready to try something new or do something different and have a good experience in that new thing and not necessarily just because I feel like I've kind of been stuck in a certain place for so long.
Right. And then even upon like looking at those boundaries, I think it's important, one, integrity wise, to keep them to yourself of like, okay, this far, this long, I'm going to do this. But also communicating those boundaries to the other people in that ministry of like, this is what I'm committing to. Please check up on me. Please ask me about when that time gets closer, what that looks like. And there's definitely healthy ways of doing that as opposed to I have this boundary, I'm not going to tell anyone. And they're like, and then you're done. Like, where'd you go? What happened? Right. And so it's like communicating those boundaries. There are healthy ways of doing that process. Yeah.
But I think especially when it comes to, you know, this topic that we're talking about, and when it comes to serving, it's very easy to kind of take people that are servants for granted, right? Because it's easy just to, oh, well, that's how it's always been, or that's what they've always done. And so that becomes, instead of kind of being a blessing, it becomes kind of the expectation,
right?
And so having the right attitude isn't just from the person that's serving, but it's from the people that are being served as well, right? And kind of receiving the serving as a blessing and not just looking at it as like, oh, well, this is what we expect of them now. And, you know, because really people don't have to serve.
Right, right.
So, serving should be a choice, right? And and that's probably one of the big reasons that we're talking about it, is because serving is a choice, right? And we want it to come from that heart of being a servant. But then, like I said, part of it is just going to be the people that are being served. How are we viewing it, right? Mm-hmm. Are we viewing it, and are we receiving the service as a blessing, or are we receiving it as just like, oh, well, they're supposed to do that, or oh, they should do that? Because when we do receive it like that, then it's easy for the person that's serving to shift their attitude to doing it out of the obligation, or
right?
Because the person's not receiving it as a blessing.
Right. Or even, I'm just going really negative, where it's like, they're so ungrateful for the things that I'm doing, and right? Like, I mean, heart of a parent, sorry, I don't have kids, but parents have that idea of like, kids never say thank you, like they're so ungrateful. And that changes the way that you serve them, and that changes the way that you interact with them. And so in the same way when someone is volunteering or helping out with something, be grateful. like for me, like I'm volunteering, like I'm not getting paid, and that's fine, and I'm very okay with that. Don't pay me. But like, it's like I do it cuz I enjoy it and I love it and I want to do it. So when it's almost weird when I go to certain events, especially at Catalyst, where I'm not doing anything and I'm like, I see 20 other volunteers. It's like I know these people, but I'm not, because I'm not part of the program, I'm not helping. But it's wrong for me to like not accept the things that they're doing for me. Mm. So I need to be like, oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it. You put so much thought into this. Oh my gosh, this place looks great. People came and made this look cool. And so I need to receive it, and I need to be humble too about, wow, they put a lot of thought and effort into this. So every retreat, when you guys do all your stuff, it's like, oh my gosh, you guys have been preparing for like months and I'm getting this in one day, right? And so to accept that with a graceful place too, that's huge.
Yeah, as we're talking about it, a memory that comes to mind that I was pretty proud of my son for was, we were doing a parent-teacher conference with one of his teachers, and, the response that we got from his teacher was like, it's always a pleasure to come to school every day, because your son every day at the end of the day comes up to me and says, thank you for being my teacher today. I appreciate it. He's like, I've never had a kid do that before. Wow. And that just like makes my day, like every day when he does that. And it's like, wow, like that changed his experience, just being thankful, right? Like being thankful. And his teacher gets paid for that. He knows. It's not necessarily that he's serving, but just the way that, he received the blessing of the thankfulness,
right?
You know, and so it is two ways, right? So it's like having a servant's heart, but then also having a heart that's ready to receive the blessing that comes with the service.
Right, right. So what you're saying is, in a few months, when everyone starts serving their hearts out, it's like, okay, we got to accept that. We got to be grateful. We got to be, which is true, but it's like, yeah, I think serve and be served, love and be loved, and taking that with, oh my gosh, God is so good, right? That these people will do this on their own free will. There's sometimes when I thought about when Emily or Larissa does their like date nights or family night out things, it's like, oh my gosh, I can never do that. Like, and so I'm sure that their parents were like, oh my, like thank Jesus that you guys do this.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like that's just having that heart of like, oh, I'm so glad people do this. Mm-hmm. Now where's my opportunity? Like now I feel like I need to, but again, not out of obligation, but it's like I want to. And so, no, I love it. Attitude for good stuff. There's no other way I can think of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's not necessarily from the book, but just looking at our attitude in general towards serving, right? And it's two-sided.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not just saying, hey, everybody in our church, we all need to have a servant's heart.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
That is something what we want to encourage everyone to do. But it's also not, you need to have a servant's heart out of obligation, right? But it's recognizing, you know, we are being conformed to the likeness of Christ. And that's his heart. He came to serve and not to be served, but he came to serve.
Right.
Right. And so for us, as we are maturing in our faith, we're recognizing the ways that the Lord has designed us and created us to be servants. Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, servants got to serve somebody.
Yeah.
Right. So if we're all servants and we're all serving, well, we got to serve somebody. So if we're serving each other, there's going to be times where we need, and we are going to be the ones that are being served.
Right. Right.
Right. And so, and there is an attitude towards that too.
Right.
Right. And so it's not just the attitude of having a servant's heart, but it's also having the attitude of being good at getting served as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's funny is like attitude is just like day one. like today I just finished day three. I think it's like attitude, availability or available, action. And I didn't get past day three because I'm not there yet. But is it another A? Do you know what they are?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not there yet either.
Okay.
So
my book's in my car. Okay. But right, it's like I love how he started with attitude. Where it and then there's the logistical things of available, and he went down this ruthless elimination of hurry vibes where he even mentions
John Marr.
No, who did he get it from?
John Ortberg.
Who did he get it from? Dallas Willard. Yeah, Dallas Willard. And so,
I'm like, how far are we going down this generational tree? But again, the generations make a difference, right? It's like, he got it from someone. He got it from someone else.
So yeah, Dallas Willard, like he, like becoming available. Like Jesus was, he had a packed schedule, but he was never in a hurry, right? And like, how do we, not necessarily balance or time manage, but how do we make priorities and make ourselves available for people, for serving and things like that? And I mean, that we could do another half hour on that. But I think it is very important to, like, not overburden yourself and, again, do it because, I feel like I'm being guilt-tripped into serving, right? Now I got to make all this space, you know, and that's not great.
Mm-hmm.
But, being available is huge. And I think I like, again, how the book pointed all back to Jesus as example of, like, Jesus never complained. Jesus was always available. He was on his way to heal this young girl, and then on the way he gets stopped by a woman who touches his robe, and he makes time for her, right? And so he's got stuff to do. He's got people to see, but he always makes time and space for what he knows.
I think I'll give a caveat to the always available, because I don't think Jesus was always available. Available, but had boundaries at the same time.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not saying, okay, I have to serve at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Pull him out of bed at 3.
Right? Like, it's still important to have boundaries, but within the limits of the boundaries, availability is important.
Right. And then I think this morning I read action. It's like, oh, so we were talking earlier today about, not a pet peeve, but we were talking about indifference versus indecision, where like what's worse, someone who's indecisive or someone who's indifferent.
And I said, it's someone who's indecisive and indifferent.
Those are the worst people. But it's like, when it comes to serving, maybe you're at a place of like, okay, I'm willing, I'm down, okay, I'm available, but it's like, where do I serve? Or I don't care where I serve. Where it's like, ooh, okay, we gotta do a little bit of a heart check there, right? Like, or just even just like a, you know, a heart check, like a sit down conversation, you know, about serving. I think indifference is the not fun one, because if you're indecisive, you just gotta like. This sounds really cold. You just got to pick, right? Because it's like if you're trying to buy a car, this one for these reasons, this one for those reasons, pros and cons. I'm sitting there. I don't know what to do. At some point, you just got to pick, right? They're equally weighted. But then when it's indifferent, and so if you're indifferent about serving or you're indifferent about where you're going to eat, it's like, oh, I don't care. Like, it doesn't matter. It's like, well, it should matter. It does matter, right? And so I don't know where I'm going with this. But basically, like, don't be indifferent.
Okay, so I'm going to be contrarian.
Oh.
I'm going to be contrarian.
Yeah.
So I will say, what if the reason that you're indifferent is because you know that you could do multiple things and you knew that you can do a good job in multiple things, and you know that you'll enjoy multiple things. So it's more like, what is the area that you need me in? Because I can do X, Y, Z, and what's the most area of need? So
such a well-rounded person.
It's not necessarily that you're indifferent, like, I don't care in terms of, like, it doesn't matter what I do, but it's more like, I know I can do a good job in any of these areas. So you tell me which one you need more help in.
I'm for that. I'm not against that. Like, that's an amazing person, by the way. And so it's like, and I think that's what it comes back to when I said, we got to talk about that, mm-hmm. right? Where you go up to someone on staff, you go up to a close friend, and it's like, hey, like, okay, you're not going to say, hey, I'm amazing. But you'll say, like, I know whatever ministry God puts me in, I'm going to love it, and I'm going to excel and do the best I can, but I don't know which one. And then I think that you start to open that conversation of, mm-hmm. like, oh, what are you interested in? I got another light bulb. Something else that Damon and I were talking about earlier was...
While you're thinking of what you're going to say, so one of the things that was funny is on the car, Brandon was like, okay, if you ask me a question, I'm going to be like straight to the point. And I was like, feel free to expand on things. You don't have to be straight to the point. And so it's funny because Brandon's taking me up for what I said, and he's...
I'm listening to what you said. But now I forgot what I said because you brought that up. It distracted me. What were we talking about?
You were supposed to be thinking about it while I was talking.
I still have to listen to what you're saying as I'm thinking about what I'm going to say. What were we talking about? Like 10 seconds ago.
I was being contrarian, and we were talking about indifference, and we were talking about choosing and being position of need and...
Oh gosh! See, this is, you're getting a peek into my brain. I just jump places and I forget what we were just talking about. We'll get back to that, but we're talking about it at lunch. I can't remember. I can't believe I forgot what it was.
We talked a lot about
this is so embarrassing that I'm like a dog. It just runs off.
Squirrel.
That's what I feel right now. We'll get back to it, but this is gonna bother me. Please talk while I think, and I won't listen this time.
All right. Well, you know, so one of the things that's going to come up in towards the end of this series, because this was the first week of our series, and it's going to go till the end of March. And one of the things that's going to come up, and the reason I'm bringing it up is just to start getting people's wheels turning, is that we're going to have a ministry fair, and that we're going to invite people to take a kind of a peek behind the scenes at some of the things that go on at our church that are opportunities to serve. And so, you know, this is a good time to start thinking about, you know, if you're not serving, or even if you are serving, is this the area that you enjoy serving in? Are there other opportunities that you might want to pick from? Are there other things that you don't even know are needs that you might be able to step into as well? So, you know, that's part of, you know, our church is growing. There's a lot of stuff that's going on. And, you know, in order for us to grow as a church, you know, it's a volunteer-led organization. And so for us to grow, expand, to help other people outside of our church to see the things that the Lord is doing, you know, it comes from serving. So that's part of one of the reasons that we're going through this series.
Okay, I got terribly sidetracked. So what you were sharing about the ministry fair made me think of something else we talked about. So I hung on to that super tight, and so I'll never remember what I was going to bring up earlier. But anyway, something we talked about at lunch was when it comes to ministry and you don't know where to serve, I was joking. I had heard this one message a long time ago about if you don't know where you want to serve, but there's something at church or there's something in the ministry where you're like, you're kind of like picking out, oh, you know, they should do this better, or, oh, sometimes Damon, when he does slides, it's like not good, or whatever, like, you know, whatever it is, and you're nitpicking, I think that's the ministry you're supposed to be in.
And like, that's how Brandon started to be a part of our
low-key
live stream ministry.
I mean, so it's like, oh, this could be better. And so the parts that like, okay, I guess I'll speak from example. The parts that bugged me was like, oh, I could do that better because I'm looking for it. Where 30 or 40 other people don't really care, or 30 or 40 other people miss it, Mm-hmm. It's like maybe that's the ministry that you're supposed to be a part of. Just the things that you complain about, or the things that you notice. Complaints maybe not the best word, but like the things that you notice that maybe other people don't. Like, oh, I can make the system better.
Yeah, there's a reason that certain things get highlighted to certain people, and sometimes it could even be to the point of the Lord might be telling you that.
Right.
Right. So I remember there was one retreat, and we were talking. You know, we were broken up into small groups, and we were talking, and I was in a men's group. We were just kind of talking, and part of the conversation revolved around hearing from the Lord. And one of the people said, you know, God doesn't talk to me like he talks to everybody else. He doesn't talk to me like he talks to you. And then I feel like the Lord highlighted a time where, and this kind of just happened because this was right after a session, where I remember kind of out of the corner of my eye, I saw this guy get up, go out the room, and come back. And he had actually noticed that the water cooler was empty, and he went and found someone to go refill it. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, there's 100-something other people in here, and you're the only one that noticed that the water cooler was empty. Maybe you are hearing from the Lord. It's just in a different way.
Or right? The way that you're expecting it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And you're just not acknowledging that the Lord is speaking to you in that way, because he could have... what if he was telling everybody and you're the only one that heard, mm-hmm. Hey, maybe I should look over at the water cooler and see if it's empty. Oh, it is empty. I'll go make sure that somebody comes to fill it up. Mm-hmm. Right. And then he was like, oh, I didn't even think about it like that. Mm-hmm. Right. And so maybe some of these things sometimes where it's like, he could have just been like, man, I can't believe that these people let the water cooler go empty, right? Like, right, someone should have been taking care of that, right?
This establishment,
like,
is the worst.
Like that's one direction that it could go, right? Like, man, I can't believe that, you know, Damon lets the slides go like this, or like he's not transitioning this, or he forgot it's still on the slide and not on Pastor Barry's face, and Pastor Barry's been talking for 10 minutes and it's still on the slide and he didn't even notice that, right? Like, it could go that way where it just becomes complaining, right? Or it could just be, maybe it's the Lord speaking to you or highlighting something so that you can be the one to take care of it, right? So,
right.
And then how do we receive that, right? It's right. Like, oh, am I receiving that as like, oh man, I can't believe that they're, you know, and find a reason to complain about it. Or maybe it's like, wow, God, thank you for speaking that to me, because now all these people are going to get water that are thirsty because you told me to go get it, mm-hmm. you know, filled up, mm-hmm. right? And so kind of similarly, to tag along with what Brandon was talking about, maybe that's how it is in certain ministries. Maybe there's certain ministries where there are certain things that are highlighted to you that haven't been highlighted to anyone else, and part of the reason that it's been highlighted is because you're the one that knows, or the Lord is going to speak to you on how to fix it or how to help in that area.
Right, and I would say, even if none of that is relatable to you, let's say that you've never complained about anything in your life and you still don't know where to serve, like, there are easy ways to figure that out. There are tests, there are people you can talk to, there are interests, right? And so it's not only coming from complaining or noticing things, because, like, let's say maybe you just don't see those things, and that's okay, right? But I think I also want to encourage, like, the staff wants us, because I'm not a staff, to, like, you know, to be serving, to live out God's heart of serving other people. And it doesn't mean you have to be here at church either, right? I think that's part of it, of like, you're serving family members, you're serving other people not of the faith. There's a lot of different ways, right? And so, but like, we're all members of the same body. We want to encourage each other. We want to equip, and we want to grow, right? Engage to flourish. Be all who God created you and called you to be, right? Like, and I think that's constantly what Catalyst is trying to do, of just giving opportunities to grow and mature and experience and do. I can just keep saying more verbs.
Well, I mean, there's, if you don't know specifically what you want to do, one thing and one way that you can serve that everybody can do is pray, right? One thing that everyone can do is pray for people. And it doesn't even have to be like, I'm going to go during service and pray for someone, right?
Right,
could just be, I know this person's going through a difficult time right now, so I'm just going to pray for them. And it doesn't have to be some long, super complicated prayer. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be something that has lots of big words. I mean, a lot of times in the New Testament, Jesus is actually calling people out for using too many big words because it's more performative. Mm-hmm. But that's one way that we can serve. And it's cool. You know, I was talking to someone a few weeks ago, and they said, you know, I felt like the Lord asked me to pray for someone. And she said, okay. So they prayed for that person. And then right after that, that person served them back. And it's not like that person knew that they were getting prayed for or anything, because he just sat there and he just prayed for them, and then they came and served him, right? And so it was like, they were like, wow, I wonder if that would have happened if I didn't pray for, you
right,
know?
Right.
So not to say that it's a cause and effect or anything, but just if you don't know a way that you can serve, if you're like, I have a heart, I want to serve, I want to do something, but nothing's really coming to mind, you can always pray for someone.
Right.
You know, and it can just be in the quiet of your own room with the door shut and the lights off, and no one has to know that you're doing it, but the Lord knows.
And I think just to get into everyone's head, and myself included, is like, God can use you. Like, there's no question of if he can. It's not a question of will he. God can and will use you, but it's on you to kind of respond to that too, right? Everyone has a gift. God can't use that. That's a lie. Get that out of your head. Like, God can and will use you. However, like, you got to kind of own up to it, right? And that comes to prayer. That comes to a self-esteem. That comes to like a heart check of like, oh yeah, God can use me. God, how are you going to use me? You know, right? And so I remember you gave a message like,
I did,
a while ago, where something that you had said in it was like, you gave us a challenge where when you wake up every morning, the first thing out of your mouth should be like, God, how are you going to use me today? I don't know if you remember that. You gave it, like, a long time ago, you said that. And I felt really
bad. When you were in youth group or like?
Sure. I don't know. Long time ago. 10 plus years ago.
Oh, wow.
And.
Man, I was smart back then.
I will admit that I did not. That was not the first thought or words that came out of my mouth that week. But I still remember that message where it's like, not that you have to believe, but it's like, yeah, God can and will use you. Do you accept that? And then when you do, if you do, what can you do about it? Right. And so I think serving, there's a little bit of that like conviction, great. But then there's also that action part of like, okay, what am I going to do? Right. God, how are you going to use me? Because he can and he will. Right. Even biblically, right. Like, was it Gideon, the fleece? Right. Mm-hmm. I'm the youngest son of the worst tribe of the blah, blah, blah. I'm paraphrasing. And,
but God called him a mighty warrior.
And he does great. And he, like, the word I would use is something else. But like, he does really good. And so it's like, yes, God can use you. But for what? It's like, God can use you, right? And that's being with community. That's what it was. That's being with community. That's being with other people and figuring that out, right?
Oh, that's the thing that you wanted to talk about was community?
Yeah, but it's gone now. It's fine. The moment's passed. But I think, yeah, you can do it. You know, like, we believe in you. And if we believe in you, God definitely believes in you. Because God loves you more than we could. And so it's like, what you gonna do? You know, I'm being very like,
yeah,
curt, but it's like, I'm paraphrasing. It's like, yeah, if you're not serving, I'm not condemning you or I'm not calling you out to say you got to serve, but it's like, God can, you know?
Yeah. And I think sometimes when we think of serving too, we think of serving in big terms, right?
Right.
And sometimes it's really just the little things, being willing to do the little things.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so, you know, sometimes it might just be like, hey, I see some trash on the floor.
I was I'm just gonna thinking
pick
yeah.
that up, right? Like, sometimes it's like, oh, you know, I noticed someone dropped this. Oh, pick it up and hand it to them.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
just little things. It doesn't necessarily have to be something big. And it's like, those little things, like, anyone can do them. There's nothing that disqualifies you from picking up a piece of trash or something like that, right? But a lot of times we think about it in terms of, you know, I got to do something big. It's got to be something grand. It's got to be something, you know, that I'm the only one that can do. And we get into those points of like indecisiveness or things like that, just because we're trying to make it too big. And it's like,
right,
what if it's just do the little things, and then a bunch of little things adds up to something really big.
Right. And serving to adding to that, serving could be, I'm gonna give that person a hug 1 second longer. You know, I'm gonna say hello to that person that I've never met. Oh, hey, welcome, Catalyst. How you doing? And that's serving too, right? It's just like living out God's heart of just, and having that mindset of just, okay, God, what can I do? You know, how can I help?
Yep. You don't have to be on the greeting team to greet someone.
No, absolutely not. I see a new face. Oh, hey, how'd you hear about Catalyst? Oh, you've been coming here for 2 years. My bad. But, you know, how you doing? But it's still to say, like, you know, how can I encourage, uplift, you know, bring other people to the Lord and love other people? And, you know, when you have, back to attitude, when you have that mindset, when you have that desire, boom, just do it. And I'm not saying, hey, I'm not saying that I'm the best. I'm not saying that, Damon, that you're the best servant in the world, because we all have our limitations, like you said. But it's like, you know, it's not in the big ways. It's not only in the big ways. It doesn't have to be to official capacity, you know?
Yeah. So for me, as we're kind of wrapping this up,
getting late.
Kind of the image I'm getting and the picture I'm getting is like, what would it look like if our whole world was full of people who are just willing to serve each other? Like, what would our world look like?
It would look like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood with Jesus at the center instead of Mr. Rogers.
Well, I think it would be a little bit more exciting than that.
hating on Mr. Rogers.
Not that I'm hating on Mr. Rogers. But like, you know, I think a lot of people, when they think of Mr. Rogers, it's kind of...
I get it.
Kind of...
I'm just kidding.
Old school.
Yeah, I mean...
I mean, he was old school. Yeah, but anyway, just like, I think it would be... It would be an exciting place to live.
Oh, for sure.
That is just full of love, right? And what would our world look like if it was like that? And so, you know, this is an opportunity for us as we move towards being a city on a hill, for us to demonstrate what that looks like as a church. What does it look like for our church congregation and as a church body for us to all have the heart of a servant and serving each other? So that when people that are not part of our community regularly come in and visit, they're like, wow, this, I feel so blessed when I come to this place because everyone here has a heart of a servant, which I honestly do feel like a lot of people in our church have that already.
Right. It's not to say that listening aren't, you're not a servant. That's not what we're saying.
So I'm not saying our church doesn't have this, but you know, it's like, what if 100%
right
of all the time, and it's not, it's like 0% out of obligation, it's 0% out of,
right,
you know, we've been talking about attitude this whole time, right? So what if our attitude was always the attitude of Christ? What would that look like? And I think it would be a pretty amazing place, and I think it would draw a lot of people.
Amen. Yeah.
All right, well, Brandon, thanks for coming on. Do you have any closing thoughts for our audience?
I can't wait for this job fair. Ministry fair. I think I sneakily was in the church conference room and I saw some like stuff written on the board that I stared at longer than I should have. And so I'm excited. I'm excited to see.
We need to.
Call security. My bad. but like, I think it's great to give everyone an opportunity to look at the ways that they can serve and know that beyond the ministry fair, like, you can ask at any time, right? Like, I feel like I've asked you, Damon, a bunch of different times how I can help or how I can, like, help specifically you, I think, because you have so much to do. But, yeah, sometimes it's just a text away. Hey, do you need help with this? Whatever, you know? And I'm excited to see. Maybe what I'm saying is I'm excited to be served. I don't know. Is that what I'm saying? But I think the future, especially the near future, looks exciting for Catalyst. I'm really excited to read this book. Obviously the Sunday messages will be going faster than the small groups. So he'll just be giving almost like teasers before each week. But I'm really excited. As much as I have been serving and as much as I love serving, I always like to learn more. And so I'm super stoked for this upcoming series, and I hope that everyone can bother Damon and ask how he needs more help. I'm very excited for that. Do it.
If you do that, I have a list. But
yeah, exactly. You're ready. You can help in these 13 other areas, 100%.
All right. Well, thanks again, Brandon, for coming on. Thanks for answering the call and serving our congregation by coming on the podcast. Note to all those listening, podcast guest is actually on the list of potential serving opportunities.
I didn't want to say that. It was number 14. But
you actually counted and had numbers?
No, there was numbers on the thing. Oh. Okay, but also... Okay, tricked is not the right word, but I was told that there was going to be somebody else on the podcast with me today, and they're not here. Not that it's their fault. They're busy with life. But
work. It was a work situation.
Work is part of life. But yeah, like okay, anyway. Yeah, they're busy with they're busy with work, and I get it.
It wasn't just that they chose to do something else.
No, I know. But that person owes me dinner or something. I don't know. It's fine.
Well, you could take that up with them.
I'm happy to be here. But yeah.
All right. Well, thanks again, Brandon. Thanks again to all you listeners out there. We appreciate you, and we're looking forward to going through this series on serving. And we are always looking for more guests. So if you'd like to serve our congregation and participate and be a part of the podcast and come on and be a guest, we would love to have you. You can just reach out to me. If you see me on Sundays, you can email our email address, podcast@catalystchristiancommunity.org, and we can try to set up a time to have you come on. We got a couple other guests lined up in the near future, but we were always looking for more. So come on.
Yeah, do it. You can do it.
All right. Well, thanks again. Until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.